Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Midwest Hemp Council Weekly Podcast, brought to you by the Bose Public Affairs Group at Bose, McKinney & Evans. I'm your host, Jason Dozier, and thanks for joining us once again. This week's podcast features Jessica Scott, Regional Director of the Hemp Feed Coalition. We'll also hear from Ryan Rummel of Elite Health and Wellness in McCordsville, Indiana, about their big grand opening event happening this Saturday. But first on the program today, we bring in Jessica Scott from the Hemp Feed Coalition. Jessica, how you doing today?
I'm doing great, Jason. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thanks for being with us. Of course, we've had you on the program before talking about hemp, the INHIA and the Midwest Hemp Council, but today we're going to talk about the Hemp Feed Coalition. Tell us, Jessica, who is the Hemp Feed Coalition and what is the goal of the organization?
Thanks, Jason. So the Hemp Feed Coalition is a diverse group of stakeholders throughout the U.S. that has the common goal under our nonprofit structure. We have the common goal of achieving the approval of hemp as animal feed. This includes production animals, which is better known as livestock. So think cows, chickens, pigs, as well as companion pets. So think dogs, cats, and other types of animals like that. So we formed about a year and a half ago, maybe a little bit longer than that. And we have been full speed ahead really since we organized. There are a lot of fantastic projects that have already happened in the U.S. and are coming together to happen now. So essentially what the Hemp Feed Coalition is we are an umbrella and a resource to unite funding to research projects and to engage different farmers and companies that have a vested interest in building out the hemp feed industry. And essentially what we do is we identify what needs done and what gaps exist to get approval for hemp as animal feed. We work directly with AFCO as well as the FDA to move companies and projects forward in the approval process.
All right. Once again, Jessica Scott talking about Hemp Feed Coalition. Now, Jessica, I assume that they already have trials out there using the hemp feed on farm animals?
Yes. So a question that I get a lot once we start sharing information about where we're at is, well, didn't farmers feed this to animals a long time ago? Don't we already have some sort of data? And the answer is yes, we have that data. However, bringing data that's decades old to the FDA doesn't necessarily cut it. We also do have international data. However, when we're talking about working with AFCO and the FDA, that doesn't cut it either. So we have worked very diligently, really over the past year, to identify these gaps in research, to encourage farms and universities to build out research projects that will fill these data gaps that exist. And this ranges from, we have gaps when it comes to poultry, we have gaps when it comes to swine, when it comes to steer and forage, and really whatever type of animal we need this approval for and these definitions set for, there's still room to jump in. So there's a lot of activity that was going on independently in the U.S. before the Hemp Feed Coalition formed. And that was sort of the inspiration for us forming. So out in Colorado, there was a group of stakeholders that had already started to sort of informally organize and share resources, but they didn't have a name and they weren't very structured. And so we connected myself and other regional leaders throughout the U.S. to form the HFC to better unite these projects and make sure if there's a lamb study, let's say in Colorado, we make sure that in that study, they aren't duplicating anything that we already have data on and don't need them to research. And if they need funding, we can tie them to some funding and make those introductions. And we make sure that the data is appropriately packaged and is good to go, whether that is being submitted to the FDA or creating an ingredient definition with AFCO.
Well, so much research goes into a situation like this, but I guess as a farmer out there in the fields, which I'm not, but I would think that one of my first questions would be, well, is this going to save me money?
Right. Yeah. So that question, I get that one a lot, and that's a little bit premature. So I can say anecdotally from the research we have seen, and this is just a generalization of what hemp does, let's say for cattle specifically, it essentially helps the animal to maintain their health and to have a better quality of life while they're in the production cycle, meaning typically you'll need to give them less antibiotics, you'll have to have less intervention, and things of that nature in your production cycle. So the money that you would spend on quarantining an animal or treating them with antibiotics or maybe not being able to put them in the production cycle because they, you know, can no longer qualify, or if the animal unfortunately passes away. This is showing that because it keeps animals healthier, you save money in that regard. When we get the question of how much will feed cost, that's something that still has to work itself out. So maybe something I should talk about is, what are we actually feeding animals? What part of hemp are we feeding animals? Mm-hmm. So I just want to explicitly say we are not talking about CBD here. CBD is actually considered a toxin, and cannabinoids in food are not considered a value add. We are not talking about medicated feed. It's actually considered a toxin when we're looking at nutrient profiles, when mm-hmm. we're doing studies on different grain and fiber cultivars. Mm-hmm. So we are essentially talking about, if for farmers who are growing this for grain production or farmers who are growing this for fiber production. Most of what we have access to for nutritional analysis and data and toxicology studies has been hemp grain cultivars. We have been working on getting different strains from across the U.S., getting those samples, getting toxicology reports, and then doing nutritional analysis of those cultivars to get a homogenized data set of what the nutritional analysis for a hemp grain cultivar in the U.S. would typically look like. And so we will get a range of, here's what the protein looks like, here's what the EFAs look like, and all of those different factors that go into nutritional analysis. So with that said, the hemp grain can be fed as a whole seed. So a seed that it typically would need, it would actually legally need to be sterilized. So it would be toasted. So we will have a whole seed, a dehulled seed, H-U-L-L-E-D. So think of a hemp heart that they've been marketed as. So hemp seeds without the shell. And then you press those and you can get a hemp seed meal, or hemp seed cake, sorry, and then hemp seed oil. So we have studies where the hemp seed oil is being fed. We have studies where the hemp seed cake is being fed. And then the cake can actually be refined down into a hemp seed meal. So that's where a lot of the focus has been on, especially for companion pets. Mm-hmm. Right now we have an FAP going through, which is a feed additive petition. It's very close to completion, and that is for dogs and cats. And that is primarily for hemp seed oil and hemp grain byproduct definitions.
Jessica, when you look at agricultural farm animals versus your household pets, would there be a difference in that feed?
Right. So not necessarily. What we see typically, though, is because consumers purchase smaller quantities, So you have one or two cats in your house. You don't have 500 in a pen on a farm, right?
Oh, you've never been to my house.
So, okay, well, typically you don't see that.
Right.
So the quantity that consumers purchase for companion pet animals is much lower. The lifespan and life cycle of companion pets is a lot higher. Mm-hmm. And consumers are willing to spend a lot of money on their pets versus, when you're talking about production animals, that's more of a commodity. It's not necessarily a pet.
And I appreciate your honesty on the cost on this. You're not trying to dance around it and sugarcoat it at all. But I would also assume that as time goes on and once it is in production, the more that is produced, of course, would lower the price in the future.
Yes. And that is assuming that manufacturers and industry leaders don't hold the price higher. And I'm not saying that will happen, mm-hmm. but that has happened with, let's say, like the CBD market. Mm-hmm. The price has stayed as high as it can for as long as it can until it's forced to come down. So I think that we will see, once we have a larger production, we're more efficient, we've got supply chains regionally, and all of those things are good to go. I would say that price, the goal is to make this a viable option to diversify farmers' current, whatever they're growing, right?
Sure.
So if a farmer is growing for feed and they're growing soy or corn or another grain that's going into feed manufacturing, then obviously they would want something that maybe they can make a little more on, but mm-hmm. something that can help them diversify. And that's really the goal here.
Well, Jessica, what role does Indiana play in all this? Other than obviously you're involved, you're from Indiana, but what role is the state itself playing in all this?
So that is a great question. So back to what I was talking about with, we have these pockets of groups and stakeholders throughout the U.S. who are either already doing research on their own, or they're very interested, or maybe they have the resources to supplement this research that we need. So Indiana is in a very unique position in the sense that, we've got Purdue University. We also have the president of AFCO, Bob Geiger, who is associated with Purdue University and is the president of the organization that is actually guiding this feed approval process. So Bob is on all of our stakeholder calls for the Hemp Feed Coalition. He has a wealth of knowledge and expertise, and he is right here in Indiana. So not only do we have the state resources, we also have very large companies who are Midwest Hemp Council members, mm-hmm. but they also are very interested in hemp as animal feed because it falls right into line with their supply chain structure or their business modeling.
And go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to say this is very important because, typically in the industry, what we've seen is there's a lot of investment going to CBD. There's a lot of news surrounding CBD. There's a lot of supply chain building, and that is fantastic. We cannot let the food and fiber sector, which would include animal feed, mm-hmm. we can't not build those out as quickly and thoroughly as we are CBD. And so animal feed is something that is exciting, and it can encourage the growth of both mostly the food and the fiber sectors. And it makes sense for farmers because there are farmers who really don't want to get involved with CBD. It doesn't make sense. The financial risk doesn't make sense, or, whatever reasons, but they can still participate in growing a cultivar of hemp. Just because it's not CBD doesn't mean that it's not a great option to diversify with.
Well, without farmers, we absolutely have no hemp at all. So whatever
exactly.
we can do to make it easier and make it more profitable for the farmers, we certainly are all for that. And you may have answered this question earlier, Jessica, but is hemp feed currently illegal?
So that is a great question. And it has, there's not necessarily a black and white answer. So I'll provide an example to answer the question a little better.
Nothing's ever easy, is it?
Exactly. Yeah. So it depends on where your product is going. So if you are a large scale producer, let's say you are having the USDA come and grade your beef. I use cattle as an example a lot of the time because I think it makes the most sense. You have USDA coming to grade your beef, and they ask for a feed list. In that feed list, if you fed them hemp is not an approved feed, so your product will not be graded by USDA. Mm-hmm. So all of the markets you're entering into with your product by receiving that USDA grading are now not available to you. Now, could you go to your local farmer's market and market it as, natural fed or something where you don't have to provide a feed list, but you're still honest and truthful about the production methodologies? That's okay. And that's happened and that's been happening. However, if you have a deal where your beef is going to Fresh Thyme Farmers Market, that may not be happening for you anymore. So it's not necessarily that, you're going to be legally penalized if you feed your animal hemp, but you can't go through channels that allow you to participate in the entire animal marketplace, which is really why we need this approved. We can't have the only farmers being able to participate in this being those that are smaller scale producers or selling in niche markets. We have to, if we truly want to scale and treat this as an agricultural commodity, we need this approved so any farmer and any production can utilize this and safely go into the markets that they're currently in.
So as you prepare this research, what is the process that goes into the approval, and how long could this potentially take to get approved to make it legal so the USDA can approve that beef to go to, Kroger or Walmart or wherever it needs to go?
Right. So we, as the Hemp Feed Coalition, we have been in communication with the FDA. And we have been what's called fast-tracked. So as quickly as we can complete studies, which means identifying gaps, securing funding, initiating research, and completing that process, and then submitting a feed approval application, an FAP, we will be approved as quickly as we can wholly produce those FAPs. That is a little bit easier said than done. Mostly because we are leaning on a lot of immaturity in a marketplace, especially when it comes to, really just identifying organic presses that can produce, and it doesn't necessarily have to be organic, but we need a wide array of grain processors mm-hmm. that can actually press seed, produce oil, cake, refine that down to mill, do nutritional analysis, because we need a very large breadth of data to be able to have a homogenized data set. So the short answer is really we wanted our first FAP submitted by the end of the year. That might be happening, but we are fast-tracked in the eyes of the FDA. So as quickly as we can do this, we can get these things approved.
Oh, that's fantastic. Now, Jessica, yeah. you've been involved in the hemp industry here since, before there was a hemp industry, several years here, and you've had your fingers in a lot of different projects. What led you to be regional director of the Hemp Feed Coalition?
Yeah, so that's a great question. So this really ties into a lot of my personal interests in the sense of, so I actually entered the hemp industry back in the early 2012, 2013, doing essentially sales in the hemp food market. So the hemp food market has been part of the supply chain really since the early 90s. Mm-hmm. And it's always been here. And it was really the biggest chunk of the pie before CBD came along. So I participated in really building some companies around that and doing some business development. So my knowledge base started out really in hemp food and natural hemp products. So that combined with, I also have a personal passion for health and nutrition and fitness. And that's really what ignited my love for hemp was this is a superfood and it can also help farmers. And it also has all of these other benefits. And for me, it's a no-brainer. But I've also been a lifelong vegetarian off and on throughout, you know, the years. Mm-hmm. And this is really one of the only complete plant proteins that exists. So, you know, veganism, vegetarianism is increasing. But this, so as a food product for humans, that's a great option. But what about for the people who will never be vegetarian? They'll never be vegan.
You're talking to one right now.
Yeah. You know, I'm from Indiana and I'm also a realist. I'm optimistic, but I'm a realist. So looking at this as a feed option for the animals that people are consuming, you know, it hits so many things I personally believe in. It economically, it's great. It improves, like I said, it improves the quality of life for the animals and it's better for the environment to grow. So when you're growing this, it really is better for the entire supply chain cycle of who touches this. It's a greener, more viable option. And for me, ethically, that it feels really great and it makes a lot of sense. And it's a way to add something that feels a little better personally to an existing, you know, production structure.
All right, Jessica, before we move on to another topic, tell us where folks listening can get more information about the Hemp Feed Coalition.
Great question. So first I will say you can go to hempfeedcoalition.org and you can find a wealth of information that we have there. We are also on Facebook. Just Google the Hemp Feed Coalition. Our logo is HFC and it has a little chicken and a cat and it says Hemp Feed Coalition, naturally, right? And so we have stakeholder calls monthly. And if you would like to participate in those right now, we don't have a membership structure. We do accept donations, but you can call in and get an update and see what's going on. You can get a list of all of the different companies that we are working with and who are big supporters. And if your company would like to be a supporter, we had a matching funds campaign going on, and we are going to be announcing some new exciting campaigns as well. So be sure to contact us there. Another fantastic way to get information outside of us is this kind of goes back to the Indiana question. Mm-hmm. So the Midwest Hemp Council, like I said, a lot of their members have a vested interest in this. And so we haven't added a tab yet to the website, but we are in the organizing phase of having a hemp feed tab under the Midwest Hemp Council website. And this wouldn't be the Hemp Feed Coalition specifically. This would be all things, you know, Midwest, Indiana, and what's going on with hemp feed here. Mm-hmm. So we definitely have a very strong presence and we have a very strong group of stakeholders right here in the state. And we want to highlight that leadership and the progress that we're making for our farmers. So I'm sure we will have more updates on as that progresses and when that tab is available. So keep your eyes out for that. And the Midwest Hemp Council has been giving a lot of information about this, but the closest event happening that will be educating about hemp feed is actually at Hemp at the Crossroads. Mm-hmm. Hemp at the Crossroads is Saturday and Sunday, November 16th and 17th. And that's at the Marriott in Indianapolis. And on that Sunday at 11 a.m., Bob Geiger, who is the president of AFCO, will be speaking along with myself and some other stakeholders here to give an update on what's going on in Indiana, what are the specific regulations surrounding hemp feed, and it'll be a fantastic way to network not only with our team, but with you know, other interested growers or processors here in the Midwest. And really, for anyone... The Hemp Feed Coalition is a great resource. Hemp at the Crossroads will be fantastic. And I think there's still booth space available. So I do encourage anyone who is interested and wants more information on, you know, how much it costs to exhibit or even to put out some pamphlets, go ahead and contact us, and we would love to have you there.
And again, that's hempatthecrossroads.com for that website.
Yes.
Your website, or the Hemp Feed Coalition website, is simply hempfeedcoalition.org. And that's the O-R-G ending there. Jessica, it's always great to have you on the program, especially since you always think all my questions are great questions. I love that. So you're always welcome to come back on the show. But anything else that we need to touch on that we have not talked about today?
You know what? I think we covered a lot. I would say if your project, your farm, your company is interested in getting involved with this, and especially if you're in the Midwest, specifically Indiana, please reach out. Right now, we actually are accepting proposals for research projects. So if you want any help in creating a proposal, or you think you could, you know, do something that's really a value add here, please make sure to reach out, and we would love to bring you in and get you connected. The Midwest Hemp Council is a fantastic resource to really build up all of our supply chains.
All right. Once again, Jessica Scott, Regional Director of the Hemp Feed Coalition. And as we said, you can find them at hempfeedcoalition.org and get more information. Jessica, once again, thanks for joining us, and we hope to hear from you soon.
All right. Great. Thank you so much, Jason.
All right. Next up on the program, we have Ryan Rummel, Director of Indiana Sales and Purchasing, also the General Manager of Elite Health and Wellness in McCordsville, Indiana, where they're having their huge grand opening this Saturday, October 19th. Ryan, that sounds like a big weekend for Elite Health and Wellness.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it this weekend, Jason. Thanks a lot for having me on.
Well, a grand opening is always a fun and festive time, but you also get to do it right in the midst of Halloween season. So you've got a bit of a Halloween theme going on with your grand opening, I understand.
Yeah, we're going to have a lot of scary decorations and different stuff like that, so that should be pretty fun. But we're trying to, we might have some candy treats and different stuff like that, so if anybody wanted to bring their little ones, you know, it'll be pretty family-friendly, so.
Well, you know, it's not Halloween without candy, so I would suggest you probably want to have that candy there. But speaking of candy, you'll also have some great stuff for the adults regarding CBD products, gummy bears, oils, all that good stuff. Again, you've got the grand opening coming up. Talk a little bit, before we get more into that, talk a little bit about the products that you have there at Elite Health and Wellness that folks are going to see when they come in the store.
Sure. What we're really trying to promote is you know, really what everyone at the Midwest Hemp Council and everybody like that's trying to promote, and that's local. We're trying to promote our local CBD brands, our local Indiana hemp, you know, that type of thing. So what they're going to see is they're going to see oils, capsules, gummies, especially topicals, smokables, everything like that from multiple different vendors, and a lot of them from right here in Indiana.
All right, Ryan, now you've got two locations here in Indiana, in central Indiana, one in the McCordsville location, which is having the grand opening, as well as Mooresville location. So folks, if they can't get to McCordsville, they can go to the Mooresville location. I assume you've got basically the same products at both locations. Is that correct?
Yeah, we absolutely do. You know, there may be, you know, a certain type of product that one local place wants more than the other, but in general, we have the same brand, same product. Yeah.
Okay, now the McCordsville location has been open since July 15th, so you're on your third month now. I'm really interested to hear, Ryan, since you're there every day talking to people that come in, they're coming in, I assume they're very curious, they're trying to figure out what Elite Health and Wellness is. What kind of questions are you getting from people when they walk in the door? I mean, just as they walk in, are they there because they know what they want, or are they kind of wandering in and saying, what's going on here?
Well, a little bit of both, but what I'm finding a lot of is people are coming in and they're like, what is your niche? You know, because they know they can get, they see CBD at the gas station, you know, they're going to start seeing it at CVS. They see it everywhere online. They're like, well, why were you able to have a small store, you know, when I can get it anywhere? And really what I tell them is, you know, someone you can trust. You know, I live here locally. My family lives here. You know, we're in it to help the local community. And knowing what's in your product from seed to shelf, is what we really can bring to the market here. And we want you to have a place that you can trust the product. You know, there's a lot of stuff out there we know, a lot of claims, a lot of different things like that. So we want to be real with people and really get down to the nitty-gritty of quality product.
And what kind of, let's talk about health issues. Are you having people that walk in with a health issue and they're trying to find some sort of remedy for that that they have not been able to find?
Yeah, let's face it, a lot of people just don't feel good nowadays. So, I mean, what we're seeing a lot of mainly is if it's pain due to inflammation or anxiety or, you know, just stress in general of the everyday life that we have to go through nowadays. People can't sleep at night. You know, those are types of things that we're seeing mostly.
And you certainly do have pet products there.
Yeah, there's more to come, but absolutely. We have lots of different pet products coming in the wheelhouse here. But right now we have creams and oils, and we even have a peanut butter, you know, really that we make for, you know, people. But, you know, what dog doesn't like a little bit of peanut butter, you know, like a little teaspoon of peanut butter, serve 8 milligrams of CBD. But, you know, that's a fun treat for them in their dry food.
And when you talk about milligrams, are there different variations of the amount of CBD in the products, like maybe 5 milligrams, 10 milligrams, 20 milligrams, depending on what the person wants, or are they all basically the same?
Yeah, there's multiple different milligram dosage. That's what really gets kind of confusing when someone walks in here and they don't really know what's going on. If they're a rookie, we just try to start them on the lowest dose. That way they can work their way up to, you know, everybody's got that bell curve to where you hit that magic dosage for your day or for your week or whatever it is. That's when they start seeing the benefits. So what's happening a lot of times is people are starting with a small dose. They're not upping their dose and getting to the proper dosage before they quit and then say it doesn't work. So we encourage people to keep upping your dosage until you're feeling better. That way you can figure out what your proper dosage is, because everyone is different.
All right, we're speaking with Ryan Rummel, Director of Indiana Sales and Purchasing, also the General Manager of Elite Health and Wellness in McCordsville, Indiana, having their big grand opening going on this Saturday. And that's from noon to 7, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. It's all day long. You know, we don't really know what to expect at different times, but we're in a strip center here, and there's a lot of restaurants. So, you know, the lunchtime area and the evening time, that's probably when we're going to be the busiest. But we encourage people to come out. We're going to have a lot of good information here, a lot of free samples. A lot of our vendors will be here passing out free samples and information. I think we'll have representation from the Midwest Hemp Council here. So, you know, if you're ever curious about CBD or hemp in general, this would be a great time to come out. Plus, don't forget about the free samples and the discounts. So,
this to me is interesting, talking to you and getting the feedback from people who walk in and who have never used CBD or have never heard of, or maybe they've heard of hemp, they've heard of CBD, but they've never used it. We obviously don't talk to those people on this program. We talk to people that are immersed in the industry. Again, I want to get back to when somebody walks in and they say, well, I'm going to put you on the spot here, Ryan. I walk in and I say, well, you know, this is supposed to make me feel better. Okay, well, why wouldn't I just take a couple aspirin? That always gets rid of my headache and maybe my fatigue. Why would I go into CBD products?
Well, I think anything that's manufactured, you know, has its side effects. You know, a lot of the stuff in big pharma and stuff like that is you take this to help something, but it's also going to hurt 3 or 4 other things. You know, so it's that risk you take, you know, is it that important? I think with CBD, what we're finding is, you know, the misconception of CBD is this cure-all drug. And really what it is it's not really, it's fixing your body and it's allowing your body to fix itself. So a natural way to get better, like we're wired to get, our bodies are wired to fix some of these problems that we're dealing with. And CBD is allowing our bodies to do what it's supposed to do. So it's a more natural way to feel better. I think in the long run, you'll just feel a heck of a lot better doing it this way than you would the other way.
And you mentioned the side effects. And as I was asking that question, it just popped into my head that, I don't know, within the last few weeks, of course, we've seen contradicting articles about aspirin. You're supposed to take one every day for your heart. No, wait a minute. You're not supposed to take one every day for your heart. As you said, there's always side effects and things with any manufactured drug, but that's the beauty of hemp. And CBD is, it is a natural element for your body.
Right. I mean, I encourage people, if you're at that point where you've taken all these different drugs and, you know, you just don't feel good still, it's not helping. If you're at that point, why not try, you know, something like CBD or a hemp-derived product like that? Because it's a safe, easy, usually inexpensive way to get going, and sometimes a low dosage could help you. And I just don't see why not giving it a try when it's an all-natural way and it could be way better than the medication.
And you talk about gummy bears and different varieties of delivery of CBD. If a child gets a hold of a bag of CBD gummy bears and devours the entire bag, is that going to hurt that child?
Well, I guess it depends on what kind of CBD gummy bears you're talking about. There's so many different kinds. I mean, if you're talking about our Medieti's CBD gummies are CBD isolate gummies. So there's 10 milligrams of CBD per gummy, and it's only isolate, which means it has zero detectable THC in it. You know, I would feel comfortable. I know my kids, I give it to my kids. So, I mean, I feel comfortable with that because it has zero THC. Now, if you're talking about a full spectrum gummy, you know, it's going to have that less than 0.3%. Will anything happen to them? No, you know, but I just, as a business owner and as a parent, I'm not, you know, comfortable giving THC anything to my kids.
And again, that would be the difference between a CBD gummy versus a THC gummy.
Right. And just saying a full spectrum gummy, though, will have less than 0.3% THC, which will have some, you know, the legal limit of THC. So, you know, if that child were to have to do a sport and have to pass a drug test, it would be possible that they would fail. Whereas with our isolate gummies, there is no possibility of that.
And that would be the next question for folks with kids in middle school, high school sports, that sort of thing, or college athletics as well, where they could be tested. Again, that is why they would want to come in and talk to you and make sure and get the proper product, so that would not be a problem.
Absolutely. I mean, as a, you know, with helping people and we're talking about medications and different stuff like that, I mean, we ask tons of questions, almost too many, to where sometimes the customer's like, whoa, what are you doing questioning me? It's like, well, you know, we're not doing our job and we're not being responsible if we don't ask you these proper questions to find out what's going to be, you know, best for you and which product would work best.
All right. And what about, let's say that we talked about children with the gummy bears. And again, it's never a good idea to allow a child access to a full bag of gummy bears in the first place, even if it's just a sugar high. So, you know, so
sugar can be way worse.
That's what I'm saying. So, you know, you got to put everything in perspective. But let's talk about the elderly. And when I say elderly, I don't know what age that really starts at. I feel elderly myself almost. But when you get somebody that does have reactions to drugs, or even an aspirin can cause a problem if they have high blood pressure, low blood pressure, thin blood. What kind of help do you have for those folks, the elderly that come in and ask about the products, and what can make them feel a little better?
Well, we always recommend first that if someone comes in, you know, that's one of the first questions I ask is what kind of medications are you on? Because me not being a medical professional, you know, I want to let them know that I have recommendations. But if you're on a lot of different medications, you really should talk to your medical provider first, your doctor, before maybe taking some of the CBD. The only thing I've heard so far with reactions is maybe with blood thinners. If somebody's taking a lot of blood thinners, because I know CBD has been shown to help thin blood, so improve circulation, so it might do too much, you know, with that. But other than that, I haven't seen a lot of complications with any other medications. So we would have lots of different stuff for someone on the elder side that would want to get better.
All right, Ryan, and as we close this out, once again, let's talk about this grand opening going on Saturday, and that is October 19th. So if you're listening to this after Saturday, October 19th, the store is certainly open, and you can go see Ryan and the employees there at the McCordsville location. You can also go to Mooresville. Who's at the Mooresville location, by the way, right now?
Yeah, that's Austin and Kayla. They do a great job down there. They're local down there from the area. So, yeah, they're really good. If you need any information or need any products, they're awesome down there.
All right, and go ahead and once again recap the grand opening, what you're going to have going on this Saturday, what kind of festivities and fun you've got in store for the folks.
Sure. It should be fun all day long as the weather holds on, which it looks like it's going to. We're going to have a tent set up out front with some tables and some vendors with free samples. And then inside, we'll have big discounts. We got a lot of closeout stuff, samples all weekend long as far as free, you know, if you're wanting to just try it out. We'll have free swag bags, just a lot of good, fun stuff going on all day long. Address is 5925 West Broadway in McCordsville. You can check us out on our Facebook page at elitehaw.mccordsville. or you can check us out on Instagram, and you know, we've got a lot of good information going out on both of those.
Well, in checking the weather, it looks like it's supposed to be about 70 and sunny on Saturday afternoon, so it looks like a beautiful day for some festivities.
That's what I'm thinking. I think it's going to be a good day.
There we go. Once again, Ryan Rummel, the Director of Indiana Sales and Purchasing, also the General Manager of Elite Health and Wellness there in McCordsville. As we've been saying, there is another location in Mooresville. If you're on the southwest corner of Indianapolis, you want to go out there and visit those folks as well. Ryan, once again, thanks for coming on the program, and good luck with this weekend. I know it's going to be a fun time.
Jason, we all appreciate everything you guys do over there, so thanks a lot.
All right, fantastic. And that will wrap up this week's Midwest Hemp Council Weekly Podcast, brought to you by the Bose Public Affairs Group at Bose McKinney & Evans. If you'd like more information about the Midwest Hemp Council, please go to our website, MidwestHempCouncil.com, and find out how you can get involved, volunteer, and become a member. Thanks again for tuning in, and remember to tell a friend about the Midwest Hemp Council Weekly Podcast. I'm your host, Jason Dozier. We'll see you next time, everybody.